That's not what the movie's called, and I can't remember what it was called. So
Talk to the Hand.
That's the one. But that's not the name of the trailer.
It's not even Talk to the Hand, is it?
Talk to Me.
Talk to Me.
It's like, what's it? What's that one that's called Don't Breathe, and then there's Lights Out, and everyone just gets them confused because the one called Don't Breathe is about the blind guy?
Quiet Place.
No, none of those. Perfect. Part two. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Vice Press Open Channel, where we get together to talk about the things we've made, the things we've watched, and the things we've been up to. I am your host, Flory. That is the man, James Henshaw.
Hello.
And that is the other man, Matt Ferguson. Good. See, I can't actually tell if he's... Oh, no, he's moving now, because he's about four pixels of thing for me, and if he doesn't make a sound, then it's like he's dead. Which is the dream, really. Anyway, today we are talking about Star Trek, a very old show for old people that like boring things. And maybe we're going to talk about a bit of a convention that's coming up and just general chit-chat about whatever.
You're a liar.
What?
Now you say something.
Who, me?
Star Trek's not for boring old people, you liar. Yeah.
That perked him up. That got him out of it.
Talk shit about... What's one of few, if you talk shit about Star Trek, Transformers, or what's the other thing you like for old people that's boring? The movie that you're born to.
Flash Gordon.
That's it.
It's not
the
boring,
movie they made just so Queen could make a soundtrack to it.
Yeah, it's the most exciting film ever made.
You bloody bastards!
It is a film that's ripe for remaking, though, isn't it?
It's such an odd... And now we're just talking about Flash Gordon, but that's such an odd film because it's obviously low budge and a lot of it's terrible. But then so much of it is just super, super cool and, like, interesting. Like, the designs are interesting and the acting is very interesting.
Those crazy Italians, because it was designed by a bunch of mad Italian people, wasn't
it? That makes a lot of sense.
Just went wild with it all. Opening sequence with the comics and stuff is and the Queen music is just so cool. It's one of the coolest things ever.
I do
the
think
music
that
makes
kind of,
it, but, yeah.
I do think that kind of film is my vibe, though. You know... Like that low budget kind of fantasy kind of 80s thing, like Flash Gordon, Highlander, Masters of the Universe. They're not particularly great films, but they've got a thing to them. They've got a
Krull. That's another one, isn't it?
Krull.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Krull. And to a lesser
name
extent,
I've not heard
Sardos.
For a while.
Sardos is weird. Anyway,
that's a very small outfit.
What?
What
we're talking about Star Trek? What we're doing about Star Trek? What's the deal here?
Well, you lot put out a... Well, I say you lot, I mean Vice Press put out a lovely looking poster for the original series by a nice young chap, Lyndon Willoughby, which, by the way, I thought for years that this kid was English because that's the most English name I've ever heard. Lyndon Willoughby. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
American. Get out of here.
Okay,
exactly. He'd slap you with a white glove, you know?
A cup of tea.
You are right. Yeah. When I was looking for artists that we could put on a potential list for open house, I was like, Lyndon. I'll pop Lyndon on there. And when I'm going through, I'm like, he's not English.
Make any sense.
No sense.
I think he works for a games company or something, doesn't he? Anyway.
His name should be Hot Dog Shootgun or something.
James will probably throw up the artwork. It's a good poster for Star Trek.
Power of editing. It should be on the screen now.
I would say it's the best original series Star Trek artwork that I've seen. That's what I would say.
As somebody that's not a massive Star Trek fan, I like Star Trek, but I'm not a collector or anything along those lines. It's something I'd have on my wall. It's a very good poster. I like it a lot. And when me and Matt were talking about it, originally we were going to release it as an editions print, so A2. We probably will do because I think Lyndon's done different colorways for it. but we just decided that it needed to be 24 by 36 inches because it just looks
just really nice. I like the way you did the stars because it looks like 60s illustration, but
yeah,
it's not just, it's quite modern as well at the same time, so it's got a nice vibe to it. It's good.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in that series, because I think, is he going to be doing all the different
He's doing the D next, yeah.
Oh, the big D. Oh, yeah.
That big D. The hardest spaceship to draw because it's just a giant saucer. It's just, it always looks weird.
I heard the hardest is always the D.
But it is the best. So...
Cool. Anyway, so what we decided to do, with this podcast, we're noticing a trend, yes? We've been trying to watch the same thing as each other so we can talk about said thing. And this week, there was no films of note. Nobody was kicking anyone's head in on Prime or anything like that for us to just like pop on a Friday. So we went to our resident Star Trek man, Matt Ferguson, who knows all things Star Trek, and said, look, we like this poster. Why don't we talk a bit of Star Trek? Give me a top three eps list. And what did Matthew Ferguson say?
I sort of decided to give you a spectrum of Star Trek, because what's the original series specifically had going for it was it wasn't just like a TV show with characters. It wasn't like a procedural in that way. It's like an anthology show, really. It's like the Twilight Zone, and they do different things in different episodes, but the characters carry through, and that was what was unique about Star Trek, I think, and one of the reasons why it's lasted so long, because people love the characters. But the situations that they find themselves in each week are wildly different. So I thought I'd do an action episode, which is The Devil in the Dark, with a monster. Is it a monster?
I don't know, because I didn't watch that one.
Or is the monster man?
And then The City on the Edge of Forever, which is like hard sci-fi classic, one of the best episodes of television like ever produced, especially when you think that there wasn't anything like that before. It was like totally out of nowhere. Got a good fact about that in a minute as well. And then the comedy one, The Trouble with Tribbles, because it's just like a farce and it's just really ridiculous and it's great. So that was the three.
So let's say obviously Matt didn't watch any because he's seen them all like 1,000 times, sitting in his dark little cave just watching Star Trek like a big nerd or whatever, you know, his whole life.
I watched The City on the Edge of Forever with my wife, actually, I think, fine.
Yeah, like a big fucking nerd. So, James, which ones did you watch then? Because obviously none of us can complete the actual task.
Arseholes.
We're so shit.
I watched them all. I watched Tribbles recently with my daughter, so I've done that. And I watched The Devil in the Dark on the train down to London, like literally like about a month ago. So I've watched them recently.
Well, I was like, it was like 8 o'clock at night, and I was like, yeah, I'll knock those three out tonight after everyone's in bed or whatever. And I was like, oh, these are 55 minutes each. I didn't realize.
Did you have it in your head they were like half an hour as well?
Yeah, 100%.
It's anthology. It's proper. It's like a proper story, almost a mini movie each time. That was kind of.
And I've watched a bunch before. Like I started from the start probably last year and watched a whole bunch of them, but just didn't clock that they were longer.
No, same. Like, what is mad about those? There's like that first season's what, 30 episodes, 31 episodes? Like, clocking in at an hour, that is a hell of a lot of content. I mean, that's good because it's something that, you know, I'm never going to be without, not that I'm ever without anything to watch now, but I hadn't really sat and watched Star Trek since I was a kid at my grandparents' house, the TV series. I watched the films and things, and it was great. Like, so I watched City on the Edge of Forever, which is a really clever name once you've kind of watched the episode as well. And it was brilliant. It was phenomenal. It was kind of, when you think about the year that, what was it, 1966 that it came out, so 65, 64, that it would have probably been written and made. It's kind of like Ray Bradbury-esque.
It's written by Harlan Ellison, who also disowned it, but he was a very famous sci-fi author. So his friends were Gene Roddenberry, and then they brought him on and he wrote that script. And,
oh, I do know that.
And then they had a massive falling out, obviously, because creative people do that, apparently. But yeah, no, Harlan Ellison was very...
Well, I can't wait for ours. That'll be good.
Hard sci-fi. But no, it's a great storyline. Great. The time travel concept. But what was key was it wasn't just like the time machine where he just goes to see the future. They go back in time, and then because McCoy is like gone crazy, assassins, murderers, he's just nuts. He changes history, so then Starfleet and the Enterprise is gone. So then they're like, oh shit, we've got to fix it.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best, like, because I don't think it was really that. It might have been the opener, but anyway, it was for me because I got pulled away from it right as he was like, yeah, we're alone, the ship's gone, what are we going to do? And then I had to pause and walk away from it. But I was like, oh, I really want to get back. Like, it had me. It got me at that. That's such a – I love that stuff when they're just like, it's – there's no way out of this. How are we going to figure this out? It's just – yeah, it's really good. And I liked it a lot.
Joan Collins in an early role before she was famous.
Which was wild. If you didn't say beforehand that was her, it's like that for us, obviously, she was old when we were born. Like, it felt like she was just one of those always old kind of people, you know?
She's like an Anna Taylor-Joy type in it. She's very, like, classic Hollywood looking and, a distinctive, strange.
She looked unreal.
Face, you know? Yeah. Mm. Well, they do that soft focus stuff for the close-ups as well, which is really cool and old-fashioned. I like that.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the... I know it's just old show that's been probably, rescanned in, and it was never seen like this back in the day, but the makeup and hair is a hell of a thing.
Well, most people still have black and white TVs. So makeup departments still were very much geared towards black and white. So it's more contrasted. It's like contouring before contouring, isn't it, basically? And then they've got lots of heavy studio lights. So it was just like the way they did it back then. And it looks totally different, black and white Star Trek. It's crazy because most people will have seen it in black and white.
Right. I would like to. I'd really like to see it in black and white, I think, because when it seems that with how they've upscaled them, and they were made specifically for black and white. I bet it looks really good.
Well, it was made for color as well. So it's just like that amazing sort of technicolor, the bright, vibrant, garish colors and the lighting that they did. I've always been a huge fan of as well.
But it's the makeup on our main players that is more distracting because obviously they're being, it's like you've got side guy, like in the one with the carpet that's rolling around underground eating making tunnels or whatever, in that way you've got a bunch of sort of miners and stuff, right, as in not children but guys that work in mines, and they don't have that. They're not being concentrated on as much, obviously, to be made up that much. So when especially Spock and McCoy roll in and they've got literal like stage makeup on.
Spock's like obviously meant to be sort of green skin.
Yeah, they've made, he's like yellow. It's bizarre. They just got rid of that eventually, right?
They sort of just filtered it out for the movies and stuff, yeah. But he was like, because he got green blood. So they thought, we'll just take all the color out of him. And so he's got loads of makeup on as Leonard Nimoy.
It was a very interesting
shadow around.
Yeah, it's all the eyeshadow, and then the kind of just like all the cheeks are done, and then the hair is like just so it doesn't move ever. We're just gonna slap
Shatner's hair piece is incredible in the original.
Well, hair looks decent. I think it's Scotty.
It's a really good piece, man.
Scotty and Bones. They've just given them the like. It's like a Bieber-esque kind of, but it's like stuck to their forehead, so it just doesn't go anywhere. It's bizarre.
Yeah. We were talking about the hair yesterday. The hair was incredible because I thought that Shatner in this had his real hair later on he was starting to have a hairpiece because later on he's got more hair than he has more in these episodes.
He's got the curly hair that he turned into, yeah.
Yeah, but like when I was kind of, when you said, and then I was doing some reading yesterday, he's worn a hairpiece since like the 50s. But it was quite interesting that it was quite
most
good.
A lot of actors did though, like they were, it was quite common.
Sure, but wouldn't you, I mean, you're going to go to all that, it's still thinning hair.
Like, yeah.
Are they trying to not make it as obvious or something? It's not.
I don't know. It was just really natural because it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it was probably just like a small bit. So maybe it just had a bit thin.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, and then they comb it in or whatever.
Yeah,
his
maybe.
His hair's really
like
cool.
It.
He looks, the thing with Shatner in those, I like their cool outfits in when they go back in time as well. So the sort of 1920s look that they've got, they look like pretty cool hipsters. Shatner looks well cool. Yeah. I wish I was Spock this guy.
I was wondering what you'd be thinking of Spock's tiny beanie because you've got an aversion to tiny beanies.
Tiny beanie.
I was like, what a hipster.
He looks cool.
The one guy that can pull off a teeny tiny beanie.
But you know, like in that short sort of time frame, like how Shatner plays it with Edith is just so good. And like, it's old Hollywood style, but it's believable as well. Like, I just love it. Like the romance is great.
Yeah. And then the random still like to show how he's falling for her and vice versa. Like the random soft focus close-ups that they have on the faces.
He's like
kind of thing.
But then it's like Spock's like, she's gonna die, mate. She's gonna die.
Yeah.
It's like, that was, what? Because it's like it's the reverse of Terminator, isn't it? John Connor's got to live for the future to be good. In this, she's got to die, and it's like, but he loves her, and then it's just like, oof. And then, so you know, like spoilers. Obviously, he lets her die at the end. She gets run over, and then they leave. You know, like when they're back out on the planet, and he just says, "Like, let's get the hell out of here."
Mm.
That's one of the first times that "hell" was ever said as a swear word on TV, and they had to fight to have it kept in. But they were like, "He's got to be serious, like seriously, like upset about what's just happened." And yeah,
that's
pretty
cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, Star Trek always, that was its whole thing, right? Breaking barrier. Like they, not like, I don't want to say stunt casting, but they specifically cast the different races for the main crew because those, that,
well, nationalities as well. That's why there's like a Russian and a Japanese person, because they're from all around the world. It's
we're
not just
trying to show that we're all going to get on at some point and come together, and that's the whole point. And then just pushing that forward. And having them be actual characters, and like Sulu, like absolutely rule. In other episodes that I've seen, I'm like, this guy fucking kicks ass. Like he's so,
I love him.
He's just so good. All of them really. And to have, like you said, like with the, I really enjoyed the one. What's the one about the freaking carpet in the tunnels? What's that one called?
The Devil in the Dark.
Yeah, that was really interesting too, because it was like, yeah, okay, it's hokey and it kind of like looks bad, but there's definitely parts of it, like you've always said, like, oh, Shatner's a movie star, and you're like, yeah, I guess so, he's Denny Crane from Boston Legal, mate, get over it, like he's just a TV guy. But there's, in both of those episodes actually, there's parts where he's just like, whoa, he's pretty good. Like he's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And he just has the, at this point too, like he's obviously in his prime, and he just has his face is very like magnetic, like this, you can't really take your eyes off him when he's doing it, you know?
I think during the filming of Devil in the Dark, I could be wrong, like either his brother or his father passed away, William Shatner. And so some of it's like a body double because he couldn't be there. I think that's right.
Right.
And I don't know if that like affected his performance in that one as well, because he's good. And then obviously in The Trouble with Tribbles, it's just silly. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. I love it. And he repeats everything. It's really good. The way he just says stuff twice. Shatner's
the best. That's one of the ones that everyone's seen, right? Like the Tribbles.
I would have thought so.
I've seen that more than once, and I haven't really watched most of TOS, as the kids say.
Yeah.
I think I might watch more, though. Like, I don't know. I kind of might be in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you were watching Twilight Zone, and it's basically Twilight Zone in space, isn't it?
Well, yeah. So I watched 2.5 seasons of Twilight Zone, which again, like James says, about 574 episodes, right? So two of which, I never got to the plane one with Shatner, but he was in.
Oh, that's the best.
He was in two. No, but that, I wanted to get to it. So I was like, no, I love that one. But he was in two other episodes along the journey that were good as well. So that was surprising. Like they were. That's all. They're all black and white, and like that's
You know who directed Terror at 20,000 Feet? The plane one.
No.
Richard Donner.
I was gonna say.
Is it that why he did he redo it in the movie, or was that the other guy that just directed all of it?
I think that was John Lithgow, right? That was John Lithgow. Yeah, that was different. No, Richard Donner did that, and then obviously went on to do Omen and Superman and Lethal Weapon and lots of very, very good movies.
Speaking of Omen, apparently this prequel thing is pretty good, by all reports. Was it called The First Omen or something? Apparently quite good.
I like Omen.
I like Omen. Like
that, the original Omen's good. That guy gets head chopped off.
Anything can be good. Given half the chance, anything can be good. But also things can be bad.
So Star Trek, in general, is good. And William, I know that like Leonard Nimoy is amazing and DeForest Kelly is amazing and the other cast are amazing, but William Shatner earned that sort of billing, the top billing, because he is just magnetic. There's no denying it. He might have been an arsehole to them and he might have been like, I'm the star of the show and all that. But to be fair, he is the star of the show. He's incredible. So I don't care.
Was he an asshole? Did they not get on?
Oh, no. Apparently there was all sorts of... Like, George Takei hates him. Hates his guts.
Yeah.
And then Nimoy didn't speak to him for years, apparently.
Well, I don't like any of that. They're best friends, okay?
I think they're best friends as well, because that's what I see on the screen.
Exactly.
Best friends forever. I have been and always shall be your friend.
It's
Jim.
Yeah.
Whenever he says like, Jim, I'm just like, yeah.
Jim.
They're living in space.
See, the thing is, as well, is when you watch the original series, you notice because people think, oh, Spock, no emotion. Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's just that he's measured and controlled. But, like, the way he's always just so fucking pissed off with Dr. McCoy.
Yeah. Oh, there was an interesting moment in the one with Joan Collins where I was like, it's weird that he, like, what's his face is that Spock is yellow. Literally painted yellow, okay? This is not me making any, you know, aspersions. And then what to hide the fact that he's from somewhere else, they're like, oh, yeah, he's Chinese because he's and his ears are mucked up. And I was like, this is a wild scene.
Okay.
This is a Mickey Rooney-esque situation right here. This is a different time. I don't know about that bit.
Yeah, it's odd. Very,
very
weird. It doesn't play now, does it?
Doesn't.
Gene Roddenberry, quote, this is a famous one, it's probably paraphrased a little bit, Star Trek was an attempt to say that humanity will reach maturity and wisdom on the day that it begins not to just tolerate, but to take a special delight in differences in ideas and differences in life forms.
There you go.
That's what he wanted to do.
Good old Gene.
He wanted to say it's fine to be different.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And with that, Open House 2024.
Yeah,
That's the Vice Press Convention. It's back for another year.
It is. So tickets are going to be on sale this week as this goes out. So I think the 11th of April, Matt, is what we're shooting for.
That's what I've put down, yeah.
And now you've said it, so it has to be.
Now we've said it, so it has to be. So we're going to start posting stuff online as of today, which is the day that we're recording. It's on the 8th of June in Sheffield still. We've moved to a different venue. We've moved to a venue called the Steamworks, which is bigger venue.
It's like twice as big.
So it's still one of those kind of old industrial buildings. It's really, really cool. It's about 5-minute walk out of town. It's near Bramall Lane, which is where Sheffield United play. It's the venue's amazing. So we've got a bunch of guests planned, which we're going to be...
It's got a crane inside.
It has got a crane inside.
Crane inside. You know, like on two beams, you know, like a beam crane. Because it's like a disused factory.
Oh.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So if you were trying to fight a robot in there, you could sort of use that crane to bash him with, right? By sliding it across.
We could totally do Fight Club in there. It's that kind of place, you know.
Yeah, maybe you should. We could. And they're kind of, it's a new venue. Like they only opened, I think, at the end of last year with the folks that took it over. They're really nice. And they've got loads of plans to expand it. So as we grow and develop Open House as well, we're going to have room to do more stuff in there. So like this year, the plan is we're going to have a few more vendors than what we did last year. So we've got some returning guests. We've got some new guests. We've got some guests still to be confirmed, which we're kind of working through as well. We're going to have a dedicated podcast kind of talk area. So Mark from Mark and Me is coming back. So rather than kind of having a little settees where we had before, we're going to have a proper little area with seats in there and a PA system, so we can chat to some of the artists and we can have some talks throughout the day and then record those for the podcast. So that's going to be really fun. We're hoping to get a couple of food vendors in there as well. We're still kind of working on that. But yeah, no, it's going to be cool. And then as we go through different years, like next year, it's our 10th anniversary of Vice Press next year. So we've got some plans as to how we can incorporate open house into that as well. So we're really excited. It might seem that there's a relatively short time frame between now tickets going on sale and when it is, but we're much more organized and much more prepped than we were at the time when everything went on sale last year. So everything's pretty much laid out, I think.
You'd want to be, because like it's yeah. When you said June, I went and looked at like the corner of my thing. It's, I'm like, whoa, it's April.
Yeah. It's a bit later. I mean, it would have been cooler to kind of announce it a bit earlier on and things, but there was just a couple of bits and bobs that prevented us from doing that, which we've kind of got. So we're new to this.
I think that's good to have everything organized and then announce your thing.
Because, yeah, well, like actually having the license to do it from the council is kind of important, you know?
Yeah, over here at the moment, exactly. Like there's all this sort of stuff about like, is live music dead and dying? Because all the festivals that go on throughout the year, like this year especially, they're just cancelling them all because they're like, yeah, no, here's the lineup for, you know, 10 months from now, and then every band drops or they can't get like the space or like whatever. So I think it's within the last few months, like the big, like four or five or whatever of orders can't been completely cancelled, and some aren't refunding. It's a whole thing. So I say best to organize first, then then put the show on.
And it is, I mean, it's an expensive thing to do as well, right? Because we're not running open house to make money off of it. It's not a money making venture. We're doing it because it's a cool thing to do.
First I've heard of this. Cancel all.
Where's my money?
So we want to like make it accessible for everybody. Like people attending, like under 12s are going to be free this year.
Oh.
Because we know that's, you know, a thing.
Double.
And we're looking at how next year we can improve that situation more, like grants and stuff along those lines. Which
who's Grant? I don't like this person.
This person.
I've never liked anyone named Grant before.
Some real dodgy named Grant.
And then we've got an event planned for which we can't yet fully. Can we announce that the other event that we've got planned at Open House?
We're going to put a movie on.
Yes, we're doing a screening.
Yeah.
It's just on Matt's phone, like sitting on the table, like as you walk past there.
We're just trying to get some artwork sort of underway with it, and it's quite tight, but it is what it is.
So we've got the film's locked in, the venue's locked in. So there will be a screening as well, and we're hoping that there will be a free poster for everybody that comes to the screening as well.
Wow.
Don't have to do anything other than buy a cinema ticket.
For £55. No, I'm kidding.
Running at a loss, everybody. Running at a loss.
Normal cinema ticket prices depends where you go, doesn't it? If you go in London, it's like £25 for a cinema ticket.
If you go on the outskirts of Sheffield, it's now £60.
£2.50.
It'll be whatever that cinema normally charges. So we'll have more information on that.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's one of my jobs to do today, just to make sure that. Just to line up all of these announcements and bits and bobs along those. So that's really exciting. We're looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to the FOMO that I get by not being able to go.
I've got a vending machine, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be fun to have you over next year, Florrie.
No, I don't want to come. I don't want to.
Don't want to come.
Don't even want to.
Miss the first one.
Not interested.
He's coming in November, though, aren't you? He's coming to Thought Bubble, everybody.
Yeah.
That's.
Oh, I need to sort that out as well with regards to that thing for Thought Bubble, too. What? Jesus. The screening for Thought Bubble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, someone's already done the poster for it and couldn't say who.
So, yeah,
that was great. Christ, it was so far ahead. Sometimes you just want to. He knows that he knows. There, Matthew knows. Sometimes you're like, someone will be like, "Hey, we might have a job for you. Like, we, you know, putting feelers out. Would you want to do a poster for Avatar 2?" And you're like, "Oh, gee, I don't know." And then you just do it, not, even though nothing's set in stone, because the brain starts to tick and all that. So we had one of those moments the other day where a concept was handed in, and James went, "Yeah, we should get the license for that first." I was like, "Oh, all right." Jump the gun.
No, we have it. We're just waiting on the contract. Yeah, we're just waiting on the contract. But yeah. You just work. It's good. It's good that you work quick when
you're excited about these silly things. Already.
Exactly. So yeah, and then Thought Bubble. We're all confirmed for Thought Bubble as well. We've got some bits and bobs that we're planning for that.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm gonna have some. Oh mate, hopefully I'm gonna have some cool stuff there. Oh, getting ready.
With
so far away, it's gonna come so fast.
Yeah, something to mention for open house. We will be looking for volunteers again as well, because we need a couple more than we did last year. So we'll be posting the groups and things around that, around how you can get involved. So we'll post some information about that shortly too as well. Is anything else, Matt, that I forgot around open house?
Wow.
No. Yeah.
Look at that.
Can't think of anything.
Obviously. We kind of gleaned that from the complete silence and lack of motion.
It's going to be fun. We're looking. I'm really looking forward to it.
That'd be good. I'm glad it's coming as like somewhat, you know, I'm on this program, and I'm privy to insider things, but I don't know everything that's going on. So having that, like seeing that from the outside come back is a cool thing. It means, you know, I was very proud to see you two morons put on what seemed like such a successful show last year, and then to see
people
it come
showed
back.
Up. It was like Field of James. They actually showed up. It's like, whoa.
Actually mental. Because when you said you were doing it, I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be a fucking disaster." Just and then there's all these people like, there sweating people their asses off.
Oh, I know. They were there happily, like buying shit. It was crazy.
Yeah. And then to see that now, you're saying it's like, you know, we're going a bit. We're tentatively getting a bit bigger.
Somebody
that,
America said that they're thinking about coming over for it.
Oof! Don't do that. That's
I was like, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Well, no, because that was a discussion we had about me coming, right? Because I was like, oh yeah, fuck it. Well, I'll do. What's a plane? You know, it only cost me $8,000 to get there. And
will
come
I make
back.
That back? I'll cover costs, right?
Well, let's not worry about it. I'll just come over. And you're like, yeah, but it's the single day. I'm like,
as it gets bigger, I would expect people to travel.
Ten years time, you know.
But then they said, well, it's fine because I can make it into a trip to see England, sort of thing. So it's like, I suppose.
Do you ever see us doing it?
Palace.
Do you ever see us doing it over 2 days, Matt?
I think probably. It goes 5 days, and the Arctic Monkeys play on Sunday night.
Turn it into a proper festival. Yeah.
I think
I'd like to take over the world. So
I think it'd be interesting to kind of look at after, see how this one goes, and attendees and things, because I think 2 days is useful because folks that can't make one day, like we've got friends and folks.
Do Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday.
See, Sundays are shit. Nobody does a Sunday.
Because everyone's got to get home to be up the next day.
Conventions, Sundays are always crap.
We'll have to figure it out.
Let's do it live on this podcast.
Have we forgotten that we're recording?
Hash it out now.
The other thing is, like, folks work on a Friday, don't they? But
Who works?
That's not my problem.
Work from home, mate.
James golfs on a Friday, so that's why
we're trying to. We can't do it.
I can't play golf on the 7th while we set up, so, you know.
Oh, he's going to be so angry. He's going to be so grumpy about not getting his golf.
I had a golf lesson this week, and I'm looking forward to going and playing golf again. So I've got my little...
We watched this Curb Your Enthusiasm at the golf... what's it called? Course, I guess.
Course. Yeah.
There's like a lesson happening, but it's like someone else, and Larry's just sort of sat there watching. And then he's like, get away with it. And then like later on, the guy is in the toilet and in the bathroom and giving some tips to someone else, but Larry's in a stall. And Larry's like leaning around, listening. You gotta pay for your lessons. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. So there's that. That's exciting stuff. So we hope to see as many of you there as possible. That'll be a laugh, won't it? And then November Thought Bubble. What else have we got? We've got loads of stuff.
Star Trek posters. We're going to do Star Trek, The Search for Spock, Bob Peak soon-ish.
Yeah, for the anniversary.
40th anniversary this year.
So what else have we been doing? All I've got here on my little thing where I scribble almost in handwriting that I can't even read about 5 seconds before we go on air, I just have Star Trek, English name, open house, spelled H-A-U-S, and then it says, watched question mark.
So
I'm assuming that's like, did we watch anything?
Wait a minute, was there any questions first?
Yeah, there were.
Go on your Twitter from last week where you asked for questions and then we didn't look at it because then you answered them all.
It's in my heroic fan group, isn't it?
I did write a couple down. Okay, so this is from Joe Wong.
I know that guy.
Joe's cool.
He bought me that phaser, he's a good lad.
Is there any upcoming movies that you're looking forward to? So I'm just going to clear my throat and go on mute while you two answer that.
Okay. Mad Max comes to... what's it called? Mad Max Adventure, Frozen Empire. That should be cool. Max. That should be rad. What else? There was something
Looking forward to I'm looking forward to Apes, actually. The trailer was good for that. Oh, yeah. Apes looks like it could be good. Yeah.
There's been some good stuff, but it's like not the big thing.
Alien Romulus.
All the big things are gone because no one's made anything in time for this year, right? Because everything had to shut down. So only there's like more small or mid-range films, which is cool because that's what I've wanted for a long time. Maybe it's just the fact that Marvel's not releasing anything. Maybe that's what it is. Something feels different. Yeah.
Captain America due out, or is that not happening?
Is it next year now? They've bumped it.
They've moved, bumped it. Reshooting the whole thing and all sorts.
Fantastic Four. Yeah.
So, Romulus.
They're ditching Alien. Off Kang, aren't they? So, you know.
Yeah, Alien Romulus. I'm looking forward to that. Mad Max, Furiosa, World
you know
of
what?
Fury
Watch
Road,
this.
Whatever.
Watch this. Upcoming movies. Ooh, 2024.
There's a Deadpool. Robot one. Yeah, Deadpool's the one this year, isn't it? Yeah.
Gladiator 2.
Yes, my favorite Gladiator.
The most. Yeah, anyway, it's like
your dad's new favorite film.
Yeah, everyone's dad's favorite film. Boring.
The thing is, after Napoleon, which I loved, I'm in for more Ridley Scott historical biopics.
Yeah.
You know, because that Napoleon movie was great. I loved it.
Oppenheimer needed? Just him firing cannons at stuff.
Oppenheimer needed. To have a decent sound mix, that's what Oppenheimer needed.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus wept.
So while you're going through that...
There's a robot movie about a robot and animals that looks good that I want to take Martha to.
Robot and animals. Well, I'm going to start reading them out. We've got that Alex Garland one, Civil War, looks interesting.
I do want to watch that.
I don't want to watch a documentary. I'm not interested.
There's another Venom. Oh, God.
Yeah.
The Last Dance. What is happening?
Oh, isn't there the kid that's now James Bond? He's got a Spider-Man.
The Crow?
Craven. Craven the
Craven,
Hunter.
Craven the Hunter. Yeah, that looks like a train wreck.
Save us. So we've got The Crow, which I'm still interested in because... although it doesn't look great, it looks different and it looks like they're trying to do something. So that makes it more interesting to me than making the same thing again.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a streaming film for me, I think.
Twisters. Yeah.
Let's get on that. That'll
be good. It's got old mate from Fast Planes, old man, short man. Yeah. Fast Plane's old, short man, Jesus. there's another Bad Boys out? No, we're not excited about that.
Nah.
Beetlejuice.
Did you watch the last one?
Beetlejuice, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that would be good for that. That'd be something. Transformers 1, is that out this year, Matthew? The animated thing? Yeah, I mean, that could be something. What's this? Oh, no, we don't want that. The First Omen? That looks good.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
We did. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited about. You know what I'm excited about that no one else is going to care about? Maxine, which is the third one in Ty Pearl. West's. Yeah, Pearl, and what's the other? Just X, wasn't it? His weird horror trilogy that they star Mia Goth in various roles. That should be cool. Goodness. Oh, there's another 17 parts of Rebel Moon coming out. That would be good.
No, thank you.
Did either a movie of you watch nobody's seen?
No. Why would anyone do that to themselves?
Apparently more people than Barbie have watched that.
That was outrageous. That man is living in his own world if he thinks that is...
I loved his maths.
In any way true.
That. Well, on average, if four people are watching Netflix at any one time... How many times have you watched? I guarantee 90% of the time I watch Netflix, if not more, is on my own. How the hell does 100%. It kind of... Where does that four people on average? That would mean that for every time I watch it on my own, there's 10 people somewhere sat fucking watching Netflix somewhere together. That doesn't happen.
It's because his hangers-on that are like part of his entourage, he probably forces them to sit there and watch things with him. So that's his life. That's what he thinks is happening. The last one I'll say, Nosferatu with that chap. Yeah, that should be good.
There's If, anyway. And there's Inside Out 2, and there's Moana 2. Oh.
That's all for babies, though, kids so, movies. You know.
Yeah, well, they're all good, though, also.
That's true.
If does look pretty decent from what I saw.
Oh, it could go either way for me. I think it's one of those where I'm like, it's going to have something more than what they're kind of showing there. I love Ryan Reynolds, but
you forgot to mention Borderlands. That looks great.
Does it though?
No.
No. I'm looking at movies. I can't see your faces. So, you know, here we go. I'm coming back.
So there's some good stuff. I guess there's some good stuff there.
The Wild Robot, that's the one.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it's actually called?
It looks quite good.
To answer Joe's questions, some of them.
I've got a cinema card now, so I just watch everything anyway, even rubbish.
What's that mean? You can just go to unlimited films?
Yeah.
You'll have to let me know when I'll start coming with you again.
You're always at golf, James. Ugh.
I know.
Do
you want to get to cinema? No, I'm golfing.
Good day, sir. On a Friday morning.
Yep. That's when he goes.
Should we do another question? Because that's rambled on and it's just nonsense now. So let's do another one.
In honor of the new poster, what are your memories of the first time you saw Phantom Menace?
I remember trying to convince the rest of my family that it was good afterwards. Because I went with like my mum, dad, and my brother, and my brother was like, "That Palpatine guy was." I remember him saying how he hated it and it was boring. And I was like, and yeah. So I remember trying to convince everyone it was good, and then I fell out of love with it. But now I love it again. So, there we go.
I think I remember everything around it more than actually. I cannot remember going to see the movie, but I remember my brother had the stamp collection. We had the pogs going. There was cards. There was like toy, like figures with like lightsabers everywhere. All of a sudden, Star Wars was just everywhere. And it's the first time that I'd actually experienced that because like when I came up, the movies were made, you know, I watched them all taped off the TV for the first time when I was little. And then Star Wars, which I liked it that whole time. I'd rewatched them probably on those same VHSs and never seen them in a cinema. And then Star Wars was just everywhere and people were going batshit. That poster with the great teaser poster with Anakin walking in the shadows, Darth Vader or whatever, was everywhere on everything. Yeah. They went nuts. So I probably just remember all that and thinking how cool it was that people were holding lightsabers again.
Yeah. So I remember watching it. It came out over here. It came out in the States before it came out over here.
Yeah.
From what I remember, quite a a friend of mine got a pirated copy on VHS.
Excellent.
And we tried to watch that in his at his house, and it was such a poor quality. It was terrible quality recording. And we kind of, like, after we watched it, it was like, I think we're missing parts of that film, or some of that wasn't real. Like, we were like, that can't be the film. That can't be. That's that can't great. Be it. And then going to watch the cinema, like, event, I can't, like you, I can't actually remember going to see it at the cinema, but I did. And then it just being a oh, okay, yeah, fine.
It's weird because I think it's actually aged the best out of the three prequels. And when I rewatched it, I was like, it's actually a film, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah, I agree. But
it's weird. It's like I was like, yeah, I'm quite enjoying this. Jar Jar Binks did not annoy me at all this new time, not even a little bit, because I was just like, well, Star Wars has got weird shit in it all the time, yeah, like that. It's Ewoks and stuff. It's always had goofy, dumb stuff in it. I don't care.
I mean, Yoda is a stupid, goofy character, especially when you first meet him. Like, it's a fucking green puppet man that speaks
with
backwards.
It at all. And the CG, like, for the time, is very impressive as well on him. Yeah. He looks pretty much like there. I've got nothing against it at all.
No,
and
same.
The fight is really fucking good at the end. The fight, when there's the three of them fight, is really, really, really good.
There was a lot of, I think, yeah, there was a lot of expectations on folks, wasn't there? It, it didn't meet, we saw it the same again with this new trilogy. It didn't meet what folks had in their mind's eye, so it gets torn apart.
Exactly. And then it's like me having expectations about Dune 2 and not really liking it so much the first time. And then the second time I just took more of the stuff that I did like out of it, and the stuff that I didn't like I can just sort of go, well, that's all right. And it's like that with the Star Wars movies. You just sort of almost train yourself to enjoy the bits that are enjoyable, and it's like, you know, it's a fun movie, it's been well made. I don't understand, like, why people like base their whole like existence on hating like something. It's like, just don't watch it then, guys.
No. Well, it was that first one that was like it was the dawn of the internet chat room, right? So it was one of those first ones that really kind of got these fucking nerds just really in a tizzy, and they could feed each other. And now look where we've progressed to. That happens constantly with everything. Awesome.
Oh, it's a nightmare escape, basically.
Basically, yeah. I blame George.
So we've got another question. We've got two questions that are roughly the same. So Stephen Reed and Vivian Tong are both asked about new licenses. Vivian specifically said, will there be any more 80s film TV posters?
Some people stand in the darkness.
Yeah, we're sorting some new licenses out at the minute that's pretty much exclusively 80s stuff. So working on a couple of batch of licenses. So yeah, yes, different
Who
studios
wants
well.
To live forever. Why would anyone do anything that wasn't made in the 80s? I mean, really.
Who
come
wants
on now.
To live forever. And that's it. That's the questions. That's all we have. That's it. Well, so ask us more questions, please.
Yes, where can they do that, James? Where
they can do that. Ideally, you would email us at openchanneladvice@impress.com.
Just comment randomly on something somewhere that is just.
If you or you could randomly comment somewhere, invariably Matt will tag me in it and say, make a note of this. I'll not see it for 6 weeks. And then, yeah, it just gets. So comment on YouTube, send us an email, or just comment randomly. If you comment randomly, we'll more than likely find it at some point, maybe.
You know what? Forget all that.
I think comments on YouTube make it get more views, don't they? So
that's what I was going to say. Fuck all that. We need comments on the thing. Just comment.
Anybody that's watching this and you've got to the end, which is probably about three people, just write comment.
Comment.
Just write the word comment.
Yeah.
And a tip.
Comment.
This is my like comment. And the whole liking and subscribe thing, please, if you fancy doing that stuff,
ding, 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 and all that.
Leaving a review on Shopify and Apple. Apparently, it's quite important to get noticed and listened to.
Oh, SEO and all that sort of stuff that people bang on about all the time. And
I mean, we're not going to come round your house and force you to do it, but if you do it, it's all right. It's nice, isn't it? Nice of you.
Look at this.
Should we? The other thing I was going to ask you to, so let's do it in a public forum.
There's a question from James Hemshaw at Vice Press. He's written in. Here he goes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear what James has to say.
Should we start doing, I think we should start doing giveaways for Question of the Week.
Perfect. So no skin off my nose.
People do a little question, we'll give them a little giveaway. So, I don't know.
What, like a poster or something?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What we can do for next week, maybe, is put some comments, send us some questions, and we'll pick the best one, and we'll send our best favourite one a mystery tube, maybe? Tube with four random prints in it.
Gee, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What about everyone just gets a Flory Escape from New York poster every week? We could do that for 1,000 weeks.
To everyone that bought a mystery tube, we got a bunch of
open channel pin badges as well.
No, they've all gone. They've all gone. All the pin badges, open channel. Yeah, sold them on eBay. No, they're gone. And not everybody. We do, our mystery tubes are actually really good. We put a maximum of 20 of any poster in our mystery tubes. So please don't think we're hawking shit on you. Our mystery tubes are very good.
Totally.
That would be my... If I ever do mystery tubes, that's when the garbage is coming in. Don't worry about that.
And by hawking shit, I wasn't calling Flory's Escape from New York shit. Because
that's
it's
how I took it.
It's one of my... It's
I just want everyone to know that this is my last appearance on Vice Press Open Channel. I quit.
Shit. Nobody wants to buy it.
It's slammed.
Nobody.
10 stars, that poster. It. 10 stars, mate.
Oh, I tell you what, my 10-star film for this week, I watched Barbie. It is 10 stars, goes without saying.
Good boy.
It was amazing, brilliant. I watched a film called Joyride, which is a comedy film that's on Amazon. Nat wanted to watch it. That film is fucking hysterical. It is brilliant. It's
Joyride.
An Asian...
Do I believe you?
I don't care.
Joyride. Oh, I know what this is.
I think I've heard or seen...
It's about two Asian girls one's adopted, one's from an Asian family, grow up, and shenanigans ensue when they go abroad.
Yeah, I think I saw something on some social media.
Has it got the girl from Always Everything Everywhere Around You All the Time at Once? Has it got the daughter from that in it? Or is that the other one? Because there's two of these similar...
You're going to say you've not seen Everything Anywhere All at Once, haven't you?
No, I have seen it, yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I might be wrong.
Don't know.
I might be thinking of the other one that I'm thinking of, which is about a very similar thing. But anyway, was
there one about
James?
Some girls that's got the girl from The Bear in it?
Yes, I'm thinking of that, but
Bottoms
that's not that.
Bottoms.
Yeah,
she's not in that either.
I've got that on my list.
Yeah, Bottoms is hysterical as well.
She's great. The Bear.
Yeah.
The Bear is the best. When's The Bear coming back?
End
They're
of the year.
It at the minute, aren't they? He started doing his chef prepping.
Ooh.
And all of that with his absolutely stacked arms.
I think he's back as well, isn't he?
Whom's where what? Oh God, he's got snapping off.
who's back, Matt?
Golden Boy from Guardians. What's his name?
Oh,
Will Poulter.
Back.
I hear he's been spotted chefing, so either that or he's just a chef now.
Yeah. He was
he's
so
great,
good at it.
He
was so good at it in the show that he's just like, well, I might continue to do this.
Yeah. He doesn't do very many. He's kind of like...
Will Poulter. Is that
very selective, isn't he? He doesn't
I think he
seem
might
to
just
be...
live his life. He's one of them, you know.
Mm.
I like actors like that just live their lives.
Yeah,
I think we got big things for Will Poulter coming. It's going to take like the right role in the right film, but I think I think that guy will do something.
He was amazing in that Guardians movie. He was great.
Yeah, should we wrap it up?
No.
Yeah.
I want to keep going for a while. Just keep rambling about nothing. Have
you two watched anything you want to talk about?
Absolutely not.
Dragon Slayer. I watched that again.
I watched The Road Warrior. How's that? Do we get into that?
We're so relevant.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, 1981, I think. Dragon Slayer, brilliant. Really good.
Yeah.
Brand best dragon, movie. I heard. Best dragon, right?
It is the best dragon. Guillermo del Toro does a commentary on it, and he's just like, it's my favourite. He loves it.
Is that on your disc? Is that commentary on your disc?
Yeah.
Oh, now I kind of want to watch that. I'd like to hear Guillermo talk about things.
He likes his dragons and his stop motion, because it's like it's the filter pit go motion stuff, and it just looks pleasing. It's not like 100% realistic, but it just looks really cool and really good. Like when it's crawling around in the cave and stuff, it's awesome.
So I was going to moan about something then, because I just saw something, but then I realised we're recording, so I can't.
Oh, we watched The Mummy, we watched the 1999 Mummy, because Kate had never seen it.
And well, I have seen Dragon Slayer, because it's got the Ghostbusters 2 dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ali McBeal, that guy. No, you know, the guy.
Oh, the little wiener boy.
He's like the hero in it. He's a little wiener hero in it.
What? Really good. Oh, am I going to have to watch Dragon Slayer?
He's the Dragon Slayer. Hey, for a Disney movie, it's pretty crazy. There's like a bit where like a girl's foot gets eaten off by a baby dragon, and there's all blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's quite violent. It's good. I was like, hey, nice one.
Hmm.
Cool.
I'm going to watch Beyond Thunderdome this week, and then I might watch Dragon Slayer. How's that sound? That's a week for me. I like that.
That's got the best fight in Mad Max, I think. That's not car chase, because they're in the Thunderdome. They're like on like bungees, aren't they? And they have to bounce to get the weapons. So there's like chainsaws and spikes and stuff up on the top of the dome, and they're bouncing to get at them.
So this is I've never seen Thunderdome, and I know nothing about
it. Oh, you'll love it. It's
not
awesome.
Very good. It's not very Australian of me. I understand this. Is that what they're doing? It's a
yeah
a fight hole, fight
yeah
pit.
It's like a big dome that they go in, and Tina Turner's like, "You fight for me, yeah." And there's like a little dwarf man that's like on a big giant tank that's just called Tank, and he walks around and punches people and stuff. And then there's all these little kids that survived a plane crash out in the desert, and they like all their parents died, and then he has to look after them.
Well, I was more excited
and
when
they think
I
he's
only
the captain.
I was more excited when I just thought this was called Thunderdome. That sounds shit. But you know, maybe I would guess I'll watch it and find out.
It's good. You know what? It's good. It's very George Miller. It's mental. It doesn't really make any sense, but it is good. I've always liked that one. It's good.
Should we watch it, Matt? Should you both watch it too, so we can talk?
Yeah, we'll watch.
Let's watch Thunderbolt. Tina Turner is just like, it's like, okay.
All right. Well, we might be back next week with our review of Thunderdome.
that new movie. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it there then. That's been a bit of fun. We'll possibly be back next week. We'll see you. See you then, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adios.